the oceans absorb more and more of Earth's greenhouse gases, there's an underappreciated hero waiting to help, seaweed. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton speaks with founders of an organic seaweed company who are growing green gold off the California coast. That interview is now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. As always, some of the challenges facing, let's call it the planet, can seem pretty existentially daunting and stultifying. Here's a couple. Climate change via the increasing acidification of the ocean, and then there's overall food insecurity. Here's one possible solution, open ocean seaweed cultivation.
The harvest season is spring and summer. We go really early at the low tide, so 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning. Ooh. We hike down to really gorgeous coves and in our wetsuits go out and harvest for, you know, those 3 hours where the total tide is exposed and all the really tasty seaweed is growing.
California is an agricultural powerhouse. We have the know-how, serving up a third of the country's vegetables and two-thirds of its fruits and nuts each year. This week, we talk with two of the three founders of a bootstrap organic seaweed cultivation company right here in California. They have NorCal partners like Fresh Catch, which you've heard on this program before. This tight-knit community of entrepreneurs are bringing their scientific background to help solve a common crisis around climate change. And here we go.
Tessa Emmer, I'm co-founder of Salt Point Seaweed.
I'm Catherine O'Hare. I'm a co-founder of Salt Point Seaweed.
So excited to have you guys in the studio today, for reals. We got you through Fresh Catch, which has been on our show a couple of times. We keep checking in with them, and you're partners with them. How did that come about?
Yeah, Fresh Catch are great. Jesse and Austin are doing such great things with our local seafood and getting that to people here in the Bay in California. And so we met just through the sustainable seafood world, and we liked what they were doing. They liked what we were doing, and they thought that their customers would enjoy some local seaweed in their packages. So mm-hmm. we started giving them seaweed, and as we've been growing and developing, we've just been going back and forth with products.
Okay, cool. So that was Tessa. Catherine, do me a favor. Give me the elevator pitch for Salt Point.
Sure. So Salt Point Seaweed offers sustainable culinary seaweed that's hand-harvested from the California coast.
Where on California coast?
So currently we wild harvest. We go up to northern Mendocino County. We're working on a small pilot to test cultivating seaweed. Mm. That's kind of a whole different ball game.
Is it?
Yeah.
So you guys are going out in wetsuits or dry suits and harvesting by hand and pulling it in and that kind of thing?
Yeah, the harvest season is spring and summer. We go really early at the low tide, so 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning. Ooh. We hike down to really gorgeous coves and in our wetsuits go out and harvest for, you know, those 3 hours where the total tide is exposed and all the really tasty seaweed is growing.
Right on. I personally love seaweed, so thank you for the snack. We're going to come to that in a second. Now let's go to the origin story. Okay, what brought you three together? There's three co-founders, correct? Okay.
So Tessa and I went to college together. We went to a small college in Ohio called Oberlin College. So we knew each other for years, and Tessa and Avery did their master's program together at UC Berkeley. And we'd all had backgrounds in sustainable agriculture, but on the land side. So I'd worked on vegetable farms. Tessa and Avery had both worked in agroecology or food chains. And personally, when I got to the Bay, I got connected to a seaweed harvester from a friend of a friend. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of this light bulb moment for me that the Bay Area is about local food, everything. But there's all this abundant seaweed that's growing on our coast. And we're still importing so much from mostly China, Korea, and Japan. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of started as this organic hobby that we would harvest, and we're excited about this local, nutritious food source.
Right. Very sustainable, I'd imagine, right? I think in one of my readings for this interview that I think it's kelp is the fastest growing organism on the planet. I mean, so seaweed's got to be in there someplace, right?
Yeah. So seaweed is just the broad term for all kinds of algae that grows in the sea. So kelp is a type of seaweed, how we define seaweed. So yeah, it's super quick growing. The way that we harvest is really just pruning the plants back. So they're growing. They continue to grow after we harvest. So yeah, we're checking on these spots and seeing the growth just come back.
Something that came up when we talked with Fresh Catch is something maybe you've noticed too. It's the urchin problem. What's that like right now? Let's get an update on that.
So the giant kelp beds, California has seen declining growth for those. But we're targeting different species of seaweed that are growing in the intertidal zone. And when we're going out there harvesting, you do find some zones that have been decimated by urchins. And
they basically just clear cut, right? They just eat right along the bottom. Yeah. And so, like, you guys are trimming from above the base. They eat the base.
Exactly, yeah. The amount of seaweed that they can eat is wild. So
if only they tasted better.
And it's definitely there's a lot of innovation going on how we can be eating their littler gonads. But, yeah, it's like unifying, I think, all the people who are working in this space up and down the coast to kind of come together and think about what type of markets we can create for mm-hmm. this species to keep it in check.
And it still feels pretty spotty. Like when we're out there, there'll be places where the seaweed is abundant. We don't see any purple urchin at all. So it's really like patches, but then we'll go to one patch and see a lot of purple urchins. So it's like if there's a healthy ecosystem right now, the balance in that little area is still okay that the purple urchins aren't taking over.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard someone say that traditionally where there's a healthy abalone population, the urchins aren't. So a lot of our harvest spots are still a balanced ecosystem, and then we'll go to another spot and see a lot of purple urchins, and that's why we don't harvest the giant kelps,
right?
Because of that situation.
Okay, let's talk business for a second. You've been out, you've hand harvested, you're bringing everything back. Walk me through what happens next.
We harvest all of the seaweed in the morning, and then we go out and dry it. We have a drying setup, so we use the sun to dry the seaweed outside, and then we work out of a commercial kitchen down in Oakland and forage kitchen. And so in there is where we actually do our processing. We have four different products. And so we do some toasting for some varieties that really brings out some of the flavor, do our grinding. And so all of our processing and packaging happens in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we work with a few chefs, food businesses, and we also sell to customers across the country online and in a few retail locations.
You do have retail locations too.
We do, yeah.
Any in Oakland? I live in Oakland.
In Oakland, we're at Preserved Kitchen in Temescal. In San Francisco, we're at the Ferry Building. You can find us at Far West Fungi. Yeah, we're creeping up more places, so keep looking at our website. We keep showing our
right.
Our
and
new
you have
partners.
Those partnerships like with Fresh Catch. Anybody else that you're partnering with, either in or out of California?
Yeah, Broth Baby is an amazing bone broth company. They use our kombu to make all of their broths. Cool. Volcano Kimchi is an awesome kimchi company, and they use our kombu in their kimchi. There's a lot of seaweed ingredients in products, and those are our most exciting partners.
And then on the farming side, we are partnering with Hog Island Oyster Farm, which is our favorite oyster farm in the world and kind of, to us, are the heroes of how to do sustainable aquaculture.
That's right.
And so we are doing a small scale, really small research pilot to test out growing and actually cultivating a few types of seaweed. So they're a big partner for us, but more on the research long-term pathway.
Right. Getting a business stood up in the Bay Area is not easy. I'm very much aware of that. Tell me a little bit about that process. Funding maybe, where it comes from. Are you self-funded? Are you bootstrapping right now? And what are you looking at on your horizon? Then we're going to go back a little bit and go back into origin, but I want to look out a little bit.
We are definitely bootstrapping. The three founders have all been working on this full-time and have side gigs right now too. We've won a few small business grants, and our research pilot is funded through a grant from California Sea Grant, which is a affiliate of NOAA. But we are deep in the bootstrapping phase right now.
Right, sure. But it sounds like you've seen growth. I mean, you're obviously growing. I mean, you brought me your newest product, so you're expanding your line. You've got physical and online outlets. It sounds pretty strong.
Yeah, it definitely has been growing, and it definitely is an ingredient and a food that people are excited about. There's a lot of excitement about seaweed as this local food. It's incredibly healthy. It has this great environmental story, too. It's a needed habitat and food for our local marine ecosystem. And we are finding a lot of ways that it tastes really good, too. So I think people are really excited about it. We're just kind of laying out the groundwork so we're in place when to really grow in the way that we want to grow, which is sustainable.
It's kind of like pudding was the new cupcake, and now seaweed can be the new pudding.
Exactly.
A little healthier.
Exactly.
I read something, and I'm just going to borrow something that I read about East Africa. How did that? You were in Zanzibar? Is that right? I've only researched Zanzibar because Anthony Bourdain did a show about it. That's all I know.
Oh,
how did you wind up there?
Zanzibar is amazing. I studied abroad there. I don't really know how. The program was for coastal ecology, and so I've always been interested in coastal ecology and marine ecosystems. So I studied abroad there, and that was the first place I saw seaweed farming. And there it's done by mostly women. It's really small scale. Yeah, the image of women pulling out these like red and purple seaweeds out of these really, really shallow bays just stuck with me. And Tessa and we've all had time either living, working, or studying in East Africa and Zanzibar.
Yeah, so I guess Zanzibar is this reoccurring location. Avery and I were both working in East Africa in different countries, in Mozambique and Rwanda, after we graduated. And we kind of met up in Zanzibar and met some of the folks that Catherine had met when she was studying there, and really just took time to talk to a lot of the farmers there and kind of get a feel for what the seaweed farming industry looks like right now in Zanzibar. And when we returned to California, seaweed farming has really been picking up in this country. And we started asking, what is the opportunities to do this in California and right. on the Pacific coast? And so for, you know, years now, we've been just kind of exploring what the pathway towards farming seaweed in California looks like.
Sure.
And that is where we come to our pilot with Hog Island, where we were testing growing native species of seaweed.
Real quick, point of fact, you guys got stood up and started last summer. Is that
yes.
correct? Okay, so you've been up and running for just over a year.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, very cool. Zanzibar, Indian Ocean, warm water. Northern California, not warm water.
So there are seaweeds that grow all around the globe. In Zanzibar, they're growing species that aren't anywhere on the West Coast. So they're mostly growing seaweeds for using as an input in other food sources. So they're not necessarily types that you would eat fresh or eat in a,
okay.
you know, as a chip. They're growing it for the carrageenan, so it's kind of more as a food input.
Right.
But it's warm water, and these are warm water seaweed species. Here in California, the seaweeds are obviously a lot colder water seaweed species.
Does cold water mean yummier?
Cold water means more nutrients. So
really?
It's
okay.
really, yeah. I don't know if it means yummier.
I mean, for us, what it means is that we have these really pristine coves that are yeah. really cold water, and they're really protected. And so we have this incredible diversity of seaweed species that you don't really find. It's a special place, the Northern Pacific.
I think Instagram was built for your company. From looking at the website pictures you get are amazing.
Yeah. I mean, we're not doing anything. That's just how right? the coast looks. That's
hashtag,
how the seaweed
hashtag
looks.
No filter. We talked about the business side of it a little bit. We talked about the nutrition side of it a little bit. Your expansion idea sounds good. Sounds like you've got a solid growth plan. You'll probably have to bring in some more funding at some point. We'll have you back for that. But let's talk about the impact, a positive impact that cultivating seaweed and growing seaweed and harvesting can have on an ecosystem.
So seaweed, just like plants on land, takes carbon and nitrogen to grow. So in a marine ecosystem, that means that it's pulling carbon and nitrogen out of the water. And because of climate change, our oceans are absorbing more CO2, and that's what leads to ocean acidification.
Okay.
So by growing seaweed, if you're adding more seaweed into a marine ecosystem, at least locally, you can be affecting the pH of that water because you're pulling out some of the carbon that's the acidifying agent.
In a way, you're healing that portion of the ocean right there?
You know, adding more seaweed to an environment in a controlled and responsible and sustainable way, of course, you can be pulling some of these nutrients out of the water that are, in the case of carbon, leads to ocean acidification. And for nitrogen, too much nitrogen in an ecosystem leads to other harmful algal blooms or can lead to some other harmful things.
Would you say it's foundational?
Yeah, exactly. In addition to the nutrient absorption that Catherine was just describing, seaweed also just creates habitat and food for other marine organisms. And so it is foundational for a healthy marine environment.
It seems also that it has several lives because after a storm, there's always stuff on the beach, right? I mean, it's always coming up there. And then I imagine something eats that too, right?
Right. It plays a pretty big role in the ecosystems. And as you said, in the marine ecosystem and on land, it's food and habitat for a lot of other species.
Let's go back to business for one last follow-up question because I failed to ask it. How can you take the next step? What do you think you're going to have to do?
We have a small advisory board. Through winning this small business grant, we got paired with some great advisors.
Okay.
For us to scale our business, we're looking at the realistic places where we can farm seaweed on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
Would you go north of Montecito or south towards L.A.?
both are an option right now.
Ask the secret sauce question. Okay.
Yeah, there's a few options.
Okay, that's great. That's great news, because if you have that plan that you can't share, it means that you've given it plenty of thought and ready to move on it. That's fantastic. What did I miss that I need to ask? Because I'm out of my depth, but I'm captivated by sustainable farming. Not because just California and I like California. It took me a long time to get here. But at the same time, it just seems like it's something that's actionable that can actually show a very quick turnaround and impact on climate and eco change and the climate, you know, decimation that we're going through right now.
For us, it's been, this whole endeavor has been a humbling experience and such a great learning opportunity. And there's a few reasons why California is a challenging place to do this. Hmm. We have pretty strict environmental regulations that make it hard to do anything in the water. And for great reason, we have a beautiful protected coastline. So we, you know, there are challenges with navigating all the regulations and permitting agencies. That is why you haven't seen seaweed farming take off. So it's definitely a delicate and marathon, not a sprint of a process.
Right.
But an exciting place to be.
You based in Oakland?
We're based in Oakland, but we are up and down the coast doing our seaweed harvesting. But yeah, we're based in Oakland.
Are you harvesting right now?
No, harvesting season is ended right now for the year. So now we're processing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And look out.
Yeah. April through July.
All right, cool. Thank you so much for coming in. It's an exciting business, an exciting opportunity. You guys are crushing it, I think. Let's have you back and check in on progress and whatnot, okay?
That'd be great.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
That was Tessa Emmer and Catherine O'Hare, and they are co-founders of Salt Point Seaweed. The third co-founder, Avery Rezor, was in the field when we recorded. For links to Salt Point's online store, along with some research and background, please check the show notes article for this week. It's at kgoradio.com. And that's going to do it for this week's broadcast. We hope you liked the stories as much as we liked pulling them together. All of our sourcing is in that show notes article, but you can also find us online at facebook.com/techonomicsradio, or I'm on Twitter at KGOJason. For executive producer Lee Hammer, I'm the host and writer Jason Middleton. Thanks for listening, and have great weeks, everybody.